The outcome of the meeting in the stadium, the strike continues. Tuesday, April 15th, a full week after SDS carried its demands to President Pusey's doorstep. The faculty meets for a second time and votes overwhelmingly that Harvard should cut all official ties with the ROTC and revoke its special privileges. A reporter asks Dean Franklin Ford the basic question then facing Harvard.
Are you optimistic at this point that it will be resolved, the entire situation here will be resolved within a reasonable amount of time?
Well, it's a little hard when you get this tired to say you're optimistic about anything, but I can't believe that something that's been put together by a third of a millennium of Harvard men can be destroyed in a few days in April.
Hours after making that statement, Dean Ford collapsed from a minor stroke. Later in the week, Friday, April 18th, Harvard students again poured into the football stadium. But before they met, the Harvard Corporation issued a statement read by a member of the corporation, Hugh Calkins.
Good morning. I would like to read a statement which was unanimously approved a few minutes ago by the president and fellows of Harvard College. The president and fellows have taken note of the action of the Faculty of Arts and Sciences yesterday afternoon in clarifying and expanding its resolution of February 4, 1969, on the subject of the status of ROTC at Harvard. We have already instituted negotiations to carry out the wishes of the faculty as expressed in their vote of February 4th. As the faculty has stated, there are other interested faculties whose views are entitled to consideration. Subject to such consideration, we now accept the faculty's clarifying vote of April 17th and will continue these negotiations, adopting the principle that ROTC should become an extracurricular activity and as such should enjoy no special facilities or privileges not ordinarily available to other extracurricular activities. We are aware of the concerns of the black students at Harvard. Their special interests are now being considered by the various faculties. We share the faculty's concern and hope they will speedily find appropriate ways to meet the special interests of these students. However, we do not feel it would be appropriate for us to anticipate the actions of the faculties on these matters. Students have also expressed concern that the demolition of residential properties and the rental policies of the university have resulted in hardships to the poor and elderly residents of Cambridge and Boston. In the past decade, Harvard has acquired by purchase 535 dwelling units in Cambridge, of which a majority were in apartment houses. During the same period, the university has erected 528 dwelling units for faculty and students, and 879 rooms for single students. Of the total 535 units acquired, 179 have been demolished or otherwise withdrawn from the housing market. During the same period, a lesser number of dwelling units were acquired in Boston for medical uses. 182 of these dwelling units are to be made available to the affiliated hospitals which are planning a large complex designed to bring modern medical services to that community. The university and the affiliated hospitals are prepared to build housing for the relocation of the tenants of these properties. Any future expansion of the university, which involves the elimination of existing residential housing, will include provision for relocating existing tenants, similar to the provision outlined by Dean Ebert on April 15th. Moreover, the university will, at the earliest feasible time, undertake to replace 179 dwelling units for non-Harvard occupants in appropriate locations in the Cambridge area, and to build other housing for Cambridge residents as we can, subject to the ability to obtain adequate financing from the federal government or elsewhere. As to rentals, it is university policy to hold our rents below the current market for comparable properties. The Wilson Committee indicated that this policy is being carried out. We will ask an independent consultant to confirm that this is the case. We have been asked to comment on the disciplinary action to be accorded to the students who seized University Hall. In accordance with the recommendation of the faculty, we have proceeded as effectively as we can to have the pending criminal charges dropped. We regret that our efforts to date have not been successful. As to academic discipline, many years ago, the governing boards delegated responsibility for internal disciplinary matters to the respective faculties. Therefore, it is not appropriate for us to comment on the internal disciplinary problem until the faculties have acted. With respect to the framework of the government of the university, including the role of the governing boards, we recognize that the increase in numbers of students and faculty in recent years, together with the increase in interdisciplinary relationships among the several faculties and the deeper involvement with the world outside the university, has resulted in making inadequate the present channels of communication between members of the whole university community and the governing boards. The Board of Overseers on April 14th appointed a committee to undertake an in-depth study of the university. We welcome the re-examination of Harvard's government, and we intend to develop and recommend to that committee suggestions for opening new and widening existing channels of ideas and information. Those suggestions will include an appropriate means of expression of both faculty and student views on matters of university-wide concern. Thank you very much for listening.
The corporation's statement, the decision by the faculty on banning ROTC from the campus, and the sheer tension and exhaustion of almost 2 weeks of crisis put the Harvard students in a new mood.
We neither support nor condemn as a group any continuation of the strike by individuals or groups of students, teaching fellows, or faculty. In view of the direction of faculty action, and in view of their commitment to continuing progress, I move to suspend the strike for 7 days. At the end of that time, a ballot on the continuance of the strike will be held under the direction of the Committee for Technical Details in each of the undergraduate houses of Harvard and Radcliffe and in each of the graduate schools.
The resolution read by the chairman of the mass meeting, Lance Buell. He puts the resolution to a vote.
This part has been passed in view of the direction of faculty action and in view of the commitment to continuing progress. I move to suspend the strike for 7 days. At the end of that time, a secret ballot on the continuance of the strike will be held under the direction of the Committee on Details in each of the undergraduate houses of Harvard and Radcliffe and each of the graduate schools. Ayes, 2,411. Nays, 1,129.
And so this meeting has voted to suspend the strike.
And there is a further vote for normalcy.
This body, although divided on many of the substantive issues now confronting the Harvard community, affirms the right of those who wish to attend classes to attend them without disruption. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it.
And at last, the whole resolution to suspend the strike and to hold a vote on it at a later time is put to the Harvard student body.
First, we neither support nor condemn as a group any continuation of the strike by individuals or groups of students, teaching fellows, or faculty. The second part of that, in view of the direction of faculty action and in view of their commitment to continuing progress, I move to suspend the strike for 7 days. At the end of that time, a secret ballot on the continuance of the strike will be held under the direction of the Committee on Technical Details in each of the undergraduate houses of Harvard and Radcliffe and in each of the graduate schools. And the third part of the motion, because the apparent easing of the situation and settling of the issues resulted from the student and faculty actions, and because of the administration's deplorable use of brutal force in a community devoted to rationality, We assert that the administration and corporation has lacked the confidence of this university. All those in favor of the motion as it now stands will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay.
Nay.
We're going to have a division. All those in favor, please stand. All right, I just want to get a visual look. Sit down, please. All those opposed to the motion as it now stands. I think it passed. Visually, the ayes have it. Well, we have to continue.
It was obvious that certain people were not going to be bound by this decision, and some that are even here in Harvard Stadium were expressing the fact that they will not be so bound.
But the strike was suspended, and after 11 days of crisis, it was impossible to say who had won. Radical demands had not been fully met. The administration's decisions had been repudiated by students and faculty. On Monday, April 28th, Harvard students cast ballots in the referendum and voted overwhelmingly not to resume the strike. The crucial issue at Harvard, as everywhere, was, can people talk reasonably in a crisis, or must there be confrontation? It was the issue raised in the faculty roundtable at the height of the crisis, in this exchange between instructor and SDS member Arthur McEwen and Pulitzer Prize-winning professor Oscar Handlin.
Basic issue is, can you talk to me about whether the society is nefarious in a decent, rational, orderly way? As it's a question of, can we maintain these procedures?
Aside from the pleasure of the talk, which may be questionable for both of us given the circumstances, why would you suggest we do so?
No, I would suggest we do so because I believe that there's an importance in maintaining procedures, in maintaining lines of discourse. And it seems to me that the real issue that came up on Wednesday, that continues to be before us, is why can't we talk? And the real question there is, at what point did talking stop and violence begin? And that's important.